I'm Matt Katz from WNYC, in for Melissa Harris-Perry this week, and this is The Takeaway. The jury is out in the trial of Kimberly Potter. The former Brooklyn Center, Minnesota police officer faces manslaughter charges after she shot and killed Dante Wright in April. As evidenced by body cam footage from the scene and trial testimony, she meant to draw and discharge her taser, not her gun.
I don't know what's happened.
As with the killing of Ahmaud Arbery in February and George Floyd in May, people across the country responded to Wright's death with protest.
Say his name! Dante Wright! Say his name! Dante Wright! Say it now! Justice! Justice!
In closing arguments on Monday, Assistant Minnesota Attorney General Erin Eldridge put the case in stark and simple terms.
It's a case about the defendant's reckless handling of her firearm, and it's about her culpable negligence. She knew she had a loaded gun on her duty belt. She carried it on the right side every day for 26 years. And that's the weapon she used. All that training and all that experience shows that she was aware of the risks associated with her weapons.
During the trial, prosecutors attempted to illustrate the proper and safe handling of tasers. They had Brooklyn Center Police Sergeant Mike Peterson demonstrate the series of steps meant to come before the weapon is used.
I carry my taser on my left side, and now I simply press my arc switch again. It runs through a 5-second spark test.
Defense attorney Earl Gray responded in his closing statement, saying these claims were a catch-22.
She didn't do the spark test, so that's evidence of recklessness. They also used the fact that she went to each and every training session. They're using that to say she's reckless. Can you imagine if she didn't go? They would call her criminal, reckless.
Each side took time to address Dante Wright's actions as well. They addressed the claim from fellow officer Sergeant Johnson, who was with Potter on the scene, that Wright would have dragged him with his car had he not been shot.
He posed no threat to those officers.
No threat by Dante Wright? He broke free from a law enforcement officer and took off in his car even after he was shot. No threat.
A lot of questions, far fewer answers. Let's talk about it. With me now to discuss the details of the trial as we await a verdict is Associated Press reporter Amy Forlitti. Welcome to The Takeaway, Amy. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for having me.
So both sides in this case refer to the killing as accidental, but how did they go about proving whether or not it's a crime?
Sure. Well, the judge has said all along, and both sides agree, that intent is not part of this. The prosecutors do not have to prove that Kim Potter intended to shoot and kill Dante Wright. The elements, she's charged with first-degree manslaughter and second-degree manslaughter. And for first-degree manslaughter, prosecutors have to prove that she caused Wright's death while committing the crime of reckless handling of a firearm. Mm-hmm. That means they have to prove that she committed a conscious or intentional act while using the firearm that created a substantial risk that she was aware of. For second degree manslaughter, they have to prove she acted with culpable negligence, meaning she consciously took a chance of causing a death or great bodily harm. The defense is saying it was a mistake and that she wasn't acting reckless and she wasn't consciously taking a chance of causing death.
So there's two different questions for the jury to really decide on here?
Yes, they have to sort their way through both of the charges. For, like I said, manslaughter one requires that element of recklessness, and then manslaughter two is culpable negligence. And they'll have to work through the jury verdict form and come to a conclusion.
Got it. So how easy is it for an officer to mix up their taser and their gun? And do you know how common it is?
It does not happen that much. Some of my colleagues have done some reporting on this and found that maybe once a year is when something like this happens. Officers are trained. They know they carry their firearm on the opposite side of their duty belt as their taser. They go through training. They can choose how they want to position their taser so they can draw it in a way that's most comfortable or easiest for them to do it. And they go through training every year. They're also warned on the dangers of possibly mixing them up. And that's something prosecutors are really hammering in on. They're saying that Kim Potter attended all of these trainings. She knew the warnings and she knew the risks.
Of course, it in the moment is a whole different situation than training, which I'm sure is part of what the defense is arguing.
Absolutely. The defense is saying that this was what they called an action error. They had an expert testify about these so-called action errors that they say everyone does. It's similar to at the start of the year, writing the previous year's date on the
right.
top of your check. And they say that it's this one expert who testified said that sometimes the training that you've had all along just overtakes newer training. And she had been trained in longer on using her gun. And perhaps that overtook the training of the taser in that heat of the moment. And she just did, her brain just kind of took over and she was unconscious that it happened.
Tell me about Kimberly Potter's own testimony here and how that might factor into the jury's decision.
Well, her testimony was quite emotional. She did apologize. She said she was sorry this happened. She didn't mean to hurt anyone. She also said that she wouldn't have pulled Dante Wright over for the hanging air freshener from his rearview mirror and for his expired license tags, because she said this. In this case where we're dealing with COVID, a lot of people are behind on renewing their license tags. And this wasn't something she would have even pulled him over for, but she was training another officer. He wanted to do the pullover. She let him do it because it was important for the other officer to have interaction with the public. And then she started talking about how the arrest was just chaotic. Once they realized Dante Wright had a warrant out for his arrest for weapons possession violation, he struggled, he resisted, he got back in his car, and she said that things just went chaotic.
Wow. And then she shot him, and then what happened? What was her reaction? Can you characterize how Kimberly Potter handled herself after shooting this individual?
Yes. Well, let me say that she testified that when she pulled out, or she thought she was pulling out her taser after she saw fear in another officer's face, and she shouted a taser warning. And then after that, she says she doesn't remember what happened. So she testified that she doesn't remember her reaction that day, but body camera video shows, and you played some of this at the start of the show, that she was just distraught. She crumpled on the ground. She started shouting, oh my God, I killed a boy. I'm going to prison. She was inconsolable in that moment.
Wow. There was also testimony from Dante Wright's mother, who was actually on the phone with him just before the killing. Did that conversation give the jury some insight into Wright's mindset and his potential intentions right before the confrontation that led to his death?
You know, perhaps a little bit. It sounds like Katie Bryant, his mother, testified that he called her right after he was pulled over and said, I just got pulled over for an air freshener. And she became very emotional on the stand too, because as a mother, she told him, don't worry about it, it's going to be okay. And she said that he set the phone down and she heard the officer tell him to get out of the car. But then she also heard someone say to hang up the phone, and his passenger then hung up the phone. So she didn't hear anything else after that. And once, she tried to call him back repeatedly, ended up doing a video call, which the passenger, Dante Wright's girlfriend, answered. And that testimony got very emotional because that was when Katie Bryant learned her son had been shot. The girlfriend told his mother this and then turned the cell phone video camera toward her son's body, and she saw him in the car.
Amy, the jury is now considering this. Can you tell me a little bit about the jury and the jury selection process? How did the larger national conversation on police killings and Black Lives Matter factor into the jury selection process?
Sure. You know, the larger conversation hasn't been a part of the trial at all, but it was a part of jury selection. And jurors were asked individually what their views are on Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, if they believe Black people are treated differently in the criminal justice system when compared with white people. They were asked a whole host of questions about race. They were asked if they participated in protests, if they carried signs in protests, and that sort of thing. And what we learned during jury selection is many of the people who had extreme biases one way or the other and said that they could not change their views and view the case fairly based on the evidence that would be presented at trial, they were ultimately dismissed. And so the jurors who are hearing the case now, while they may have had some views, they all said that they could put aside their views and just listen to the evidence, just listen to what was happening in court and weigh the facts.
And the racial makeup of the jury?
The jury is mostly white. There are, I believe, nine white people on the jury. Two members of the jury are Asian, and there is one Black woman on the jury. So it is a predominantly white jury.
You know, Amy, you cover crime in courts. You've heard these emotional testimonies from the stand. Do you expect that emotion to impact the jury's decision?
Well, it's something that the jury heard, definitely, and and they were very attentive during that testimony. And, you know, they also saw body camera footage of Dante Wright's body being pulled from the vehicle and life-saving efforts that were done. And so you would think that would have to have some sort of impact as they're considering the case.
Yeah.
However, the judge gave them strict instructions that sympathies and any emotions they might be feeling toward any of the witnesses or the victims, that's not evidence. And they need to decide the case based on the evidence and the facts that were presented.
Amy, just a couple seconds left, but can you tell me if any protests are expected following this verdict?
It's hard to say. We don't know of any that are planned right now. We do know of a news conference that's planned after the verdict comes down, but we don't know what to expect. I know that the city is anticipating that possibility, but we'll just have to see what happens.
I've been speaking with Amy Forlitti, who covers crime and courts for the Associated Press. Amy, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.